So Chris, kick us off for tonight.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. So as you watch, if you want to get your Bible out and follow along, we just kind of try and go through a few verses at a time. I've gotten good feedback from people saying that they're watching and they're learning and they're growing. And so hopefully that will happen again tonight. So beginning with verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3, it says this. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." I'll stop there. So Paul continues his theme of our being brought together as a family, being as a family unit through Christ. So why, again, is this so important to Paul that we be a part of a family? We have this strong family of believers. Why is this so important to Paul?
Well, I think it's important because it's the Jew-Gentile thing. Mm-hmm. And so those groups didn't like each other. Mm-hmm. And they, to the Jew, the Gentile had cooties. Uh-huh. And so there was a big divide between those. Well, the Lord brought Jew and Gentile together through the cross, broke down the dividing line, and so now we're in the same family, the family of God. Chris, you remember the song that was sung for many, many years, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood." Well, they're part of the family. And so Paul emphasizes that. Hey, we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, and God has brought the Gentiles, praise the Lord, because we're Gentiles. He's brought the Gentiles into the family of faith. And we're brothers and sisters in Jesus. So that's a great thing, and that is something to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. And so it's talked about in this wonderful prayer.
Yeah, and just the component that we really do need each other, and we love diversity. We love bringing different groups together, united on the gospel message.
Right.
And we really do need each other. So it also talks about in these first three verses, it talks about the Spirit strengthening us as believers. How does the Spirit strengthen us with his power? And what are some evidences of that power in a believer's life?
Well, all the strength that we have, the power to live the Christian life, doesn't come from us.
Right.
It comes from the Lord who lives within by his Spirit. You know, when you get really technical in the Christian life, we talk about Jesus living in our hearts. Well, he does, but he does through the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He sent, 10 days after his ascension, on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ. So Jesus said he's just going to be just like me. But what's so much better, it's very easy to say, man, I wish I'd lived during the New Testament times where you could have seen Jesus do all the miracles and
walked with him,
talked with him, seen him, touch him, feel him, that kind of thing. But Jesus said it's better that he goes away, because if he didn't go away, then the Spirit wouldn't come. And the Spirit it's better because the Spirit is in you. Jesus wasn't in those guys. He was with those guys. But the Holy Spirit comes to be in us. And the Holy Spirit gives us power from within to live the Christian life, because you and I can't do it. If you try and live the Christian life in the power of your flesh, it's just a grit your teeth, oh, I'm going to white knuckle this, I'm going to try so hard. You're going to fail every single time. You know, you can hold on for a little while. You can do well maybe for a day or two or a week or two. But it's destined to fail, because that which is of the flesh is flesh. And the Spirit is willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak. And the best flesh is weak. So all that needs to be done in the Christian life can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God is looking for. He's not, God doesn't really want you to spend a lot of time saying, what can I do for God? What he wants you and me to do is just to say, God, what do you want to do through me? And Jesus, be Jesus in me by your Spirit. Guide me, empower me, direct me, show me what you want me to do, and may I do it in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses And just thinking about the difficulties that we're going through right now in this season of this world that we're going through right now, we need that power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And how Jesus said in John 14:12 that we will go on to do greater things. I've always been fascinated by that, that we'll go on to do greater things than he even did. That means the Holy Spirit living within us. So I feel like believers, we have a lot more capacity within us in the Holy Spirit, not in self, but like you say, but in the Spirit than people even realize if we're truly born again.
Right.
You know,
and capacity to persevere. You know, you read stories, and I would encourage everybody to read biographies about great Christians, people who have experienced lots of suffering. Tortured for Christ is a book about Richard and Sabina Wormbrand, Romanian Christians who spent a lot of time in prison for their faith. It just shows you the depth of someone's commitment to Christ when they're really, when the world puts the screws to them. There's a strength that, the Lord gives that is just amazing. And so, you know, we'll read a book like that and we'll think, I could never handle that. I could never do that. But I still remember in seminary, the early church, they would say when somebody would be martyred or persecuted for their faith, they'd say there's an extra grace that the Lord gives to those people who are in that situation. And so, you know, there is tremendous power, obviously, in the Holy Spirit within us.
To persevere then.
To persevere, to overcome, to keep trusting, to keep praising, even in the midst of suffering. And that is, in my opinion, that is the greatest testimony.
That's good.
Is when somebody's hurting, somebody's suffering, somebody is being persecuted, and they can have joy, and they can have peace, and they can have a song to sing. That tells the world Jesus is real.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good. What a great testimony, yeah, to be able to persevere in the midst of struggle because the Holy Spirit is within. Okay, let's go to verse 17. Verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So it says to be, in verse 17, it says to be rooted and grounded in love. What does that mean to be rooted and grounded in love?
Yeah, two ideas that come to mind. So you're rooted like a tree, and you're grounded like a building. And both of those speak of stability. And where we get stability in the Christian life is in the love of God. It says in the book of Jude to keep yourselves in the love of God. Chris, I really think that that's the key to everything, is we love because he first loved us. The greatest commandment is to love God. How do I do that? Understanding how much he loves me.
Right.
So I can't love God the way I'm supposed to until I really understand and realize how much he loves me. And Chris, I know, you know, I struggle in my own life with, because I know me and I know my weaknesses, and I think, well, you know, from a human perspective, how can God love me if I'm weak here and here and here and here? You know, you just go through a long list of things that you're not good at.
Right.
But God does love us. In spite of us, he still loves us. And the scripture says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I still remember reading a book by a guy who had a lot of struggles in his life, a lot of sins in his life. He was in the ministry, and then he had to get out of the ministry because of moral failures. His wife was about to say, I'm done, I'm out. He went away to a counseling clinic to try and help him, and he said it was there that he really understood in a deeper way than ever before how much the Lord loved him. Even broken, messed up Mike, God really loved him. And he said he had a vision of the Lord just hugging him and holding him close. And he said, that changed everything for me. And so I think when we really understand the love of God and we're rooted and grounded in that, it changes everything.
I love that that scene in the movie Fireproof, when Kirk Cameron, he's trying to win his wife back. And then and he says, I just can't do it, Dad. And then it shows the cross. And he said, you can't give what you don't have. You know, you haven't received, right. You know, the love from God. You can't pour onto others because you don't have it yet from Him.
Right.
So,
you know, it's funny about that, Chris. So Michael Catt, you know, his daughter played, what was her name? Catherine. Mm-hmm. It was Caleb and Catherine. Mm-hmm. So his daughter, Erin, just got married. And so he was posting pictures of Erin and her new husband. And it was on Twitter. And so I wrote on there, congratulations. Does Caleb know?
The love there didn't work.
Evidently not.
Okay. Another question about this is, what role does a believer play in better understanding and experiencing the power and fullness of God's love in their life? So what is the believer's role in truly understanding the power of God's love?
Well, if everything is predicated on God loving us, mm-hmm. we love because He first loved us. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you don't have that love. I don't have that love. So it has to come from God. And when our hearts are filled and rooted and grounded in His love, then we can love Him back and we can love horizontally other people. Now, I think the way that what is incumbent upon us as believers is to spend time in the Word, spend time with the Lord, and believe what He says. When He says that He loves us with an everlasting love, it's easy to say, Psalm 73, surely God is good to Israel, but as for me, I came close to stumbling. So surely God loves everyone else. Mm-hmm. Surely God loves
me.
Chris, but I don't know about me.
Right.
You know, maybe God doesn't love me. God can forgive Paul his sins. He can forgive the woman at the well her sins. He can forgive the prostitute weeping at His feet her sins. But my sins are different. He can't forgive me of my sins. So we have that attitude that, I have faith for other people, but what about for me? And can I believe God's Word? Well, keeping yourselves in the love of God, as it says in the book of Jude, that's on you to make sure that you're saying, Lord, this is what You say. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My sins are taken away from me as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. I'm white as snow. What God has cleansed, therefore, no longer consider unholy. All those promises in Scripture that we have to claim and believe for ourselves. I think I've found for me, much easier for me to talk to somebody and say, hey, you pray and you believe and God will forgive you and He'll cleanse you. I don't care what you've done.
Yeah.
But then for me, I have to believe that for me.
Yeah.
And I've heard that said before, you know, it's in some ways it's easier to have faith for somebody else than it is to have faith for yourself.
Happens in the counseling office all the time. I'll be like, don't worry, I'm preaching at myself right now.
Right.
You know, I'm taking this to myself. So, I mean, what I hear you saying is that resting in God's promises and God's truth more than our own understanding of ourself, but resting in the promises and truth that God gives.
Right. And, you know, I think this is a common problem we have. The book of Galatians brings it out. He says, in Galatians chapter 3, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified, this is the one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? I mean, obviously the answer to that is hearing with faith.
Yeah.
Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? Chris, I think that's a danger for all of us, that we come to Christ, we're excited about His grace and His mercy, but then we start to try and do the Christian life in the power of our own flesh and our own strength, our own commitment, and that doesn't work.
Right.
Has to be His power.
Good. Very good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about prayer and the power of prayer. This kind of prayer that Paul prays, and throughout Paul's writings, the kind of prayers that he prays and writes, what can a believer do to prepare their hearts and minds to sincerely pray this kind of prayer? How can we prepare our hearts to pray this way?
Well, I think it's good in our prayers. I memorized this passage years and years ago, and I repeat this a lot back to the Lord. I think it's good to pray the prayers of the Bible back to the Lord,
that's good.
To memorize those. And to pray this back to the Lord and think through what is Paul saying and how can I make that personal for me? And And when I pray, especially verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we mm-hmm. ask or think, mm-hmm. According to the power that works within us, to him be the glory, to know that I'm praying to a God who is able to do far more than I can even ask,
yeah.
than I can even think, that even comes into my mind. So I need to pray big. I need to ask big, because God is a big God and he can do way more than what I'm asking him for. I heard it said this way, you know, if you come to a billionaire and mm-hmm. you say, I have a big request, will you give me $2? That's nothing,
right?
You know, give you $2. If you're coming to a billionaire, why don't you ask him for something big? Mm-hmm. There's a little poem that I like. It says this: you are coming to a king, large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such, no one can ever ask too much. And ask God for big things, not for yourself, not for God, mm-hmm. give me a bigger mm-hmm. car or whatever, you know, but ask God to, as Solomon did, Lord, give me understanding that I could have discernment, that I could be a blessing to other people, that you would use me in a powerful way, like Jabez, mm-hmm. you know, bless mm-hmm. me and bless me indeed and enlarge my territory and put your hand on me so that I can be used
oh, yeah.
of you.
Yeah.
And it's not a selfish prayer, God make me great, but mm-hmm. God use me in a great way.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
Yeah, that's a great prayer. I pray that a lot. Just God use me and, you know, use me however you want to use me. And then also discernment. Give me discernment, wisdom.
Right.
You know, guide my steps. Give me direction. Those are good prayers. And I like the idea of praying the scripture back to him instead mm-hmm. of just coming to the genie with your wish list, but right. praying the scripture back to him.
Right.
Okay, so let's go look at what he says in verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What a powerful mm-hmm. prayer that he gives. And so I wanted to put you on the spot, Pastor Jeff, and ask you, you know, you've seen in your lifetime, you've seen prayers be answered. You've seen God work. You've brought requests to God and he's answered your prayers. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's people that are watching that have, you know, deep things that they're praying for. Mm-hmm. And maybe even right now their faith is a little shaken.
Right.
What are some prayers that you have seen answered in your lifetime?
Prayers for, you know, the greatest prayers for salvation, mm-hmm. to pray for family members, my kids coming to faith in Christ mm-hmm. and to see those answered. It's just like, there's nothing greater than that, because mm-hmm. that's for all eternity. And so, to see the Lord, respond to that request, it's typically not immediate. It's mm-hmm. over time, but mm-hmm. you know, I believe my dad prayed to receive Christ before he passed away, mm-hmm. To see all three of my girls come to Christ. We're praying that now for my granddaughters, to see my oldest brother come to Christ, praying for him for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. It's still praying for family members that haven't made that decision yet. You know, praying for a spouse, that mm-hmm. God would give me a godly spouse, and God answered that. Exceeding abundantly beyond mm-hmm. all that I could ask or mm-hmm. think, and give me Debbie.
Debbie, hopefully you're watching.
I think too, Chris, things like, I remember when I was working in the chemical business and I was teaching my Sunday school class, and anytime I taught on marriage, I remember praying, because I would teach on Sunday morning, and then Monday I typically had a sales meeting and I had to drive, it was about an hour drive. And so I'd be in the car and I'd do my mm-hmm. lesson again to myself. And I would think, man, I wish I could do this again. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the desire of my heart. And so two things. I said, God, I would love to be able to teach about marriage on a bigger mm-hmm. scale to more people. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, God allows Debbie and me to be on the Family Life speaker team. And so mm-hmm. we've spoken to couples all over the country about marriage. And God answered that prayer to be able to be in the ministry. And that was the desire of my heart. And God mm-hmm. answered that prayer. And so those are big things that God has done in direct answer. And it wasn't just one prayer one day. It was mm-hmm. over time, just asking the Lord about this. Lord, this is the desire of my heart. This is what I'd really like to see mm-hmm. happen in my life. And Chris, I know with your girls, you know, you pray about their future. You
yeah.
pray about
yeah.
the man that they will marry
oh, yeah.
one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see my girls with really good and godly guys, that is such a blessing and such an answer of prayer, especially with Amy, our middle daughter, who just got married in December, to see God answer that prayer, because that was a big issue for her for many, many years. And she was just thinking, you know, this isn't happening, and she'd like somebody, they wouldn't like her, somebody mm-hmm. would like her, she didn't like them. And so it's just always...
The timing wasn't right, yeah.
Never right, just always missing. And then she met Travis, and Travis was, he was Boaz. He was the one mm-hmm. that God had for her. And so Debbie and I would just always encourage her, Amy, you stay out in the field. Yeah. That's where Ruth met Boaz, mm-hmm. was out in the field. You just do what the Lord's called you to do. You trust Him. He will take care of the rest. And He did, and gave her a guy that just loves her to death, and they have such a great marriage.
I like how you brought up, you know, praying for our children. You know, of course, my oldest daughter, she's going to be a senior this year, and then my others are really young. And so, you know, Pastor Jeff has three girls, I have three girls, and our prayer is that they will always know God and walk with God, and future husbands, that they'll marry hardworking, godly men.
Right.
And, but I believe there's some people watching that you have children that are older children, and you're just so worried, because I've heard your stories, and you're so worried about where your children are at and where they've wandered, mm-hmm. They're prodigals. Don't give up praying for them,
right.
because God can turn that situation around, and that is a very worthwhile prayer.
Right.
The salvation of your children is very worthwhile, and I know that breaks your heart when they're not saved.
Right.
And, you know, so Pastor Jeff brought up the most important things, praying for salvation, praying. We've seen people, we've prayed for people and then seen it come to pass where they have salvation, and then praying for family. I think a big prayer for us right now is praying for revival,
right.
praying for healing in our land, praying for our national leaders, obviously praying for this pandemic. We have some heavy prayers, but it's not too big for God. You know, we definitely
right.
need to be praying for these things.
Well, and I think verses 20 and 21 are such key verses, because no matter what you're facing in life, Chris, with marriage problems.
Mm-hmm.
People can get overwhelmed with marriage problems,
yeah.
and they
yeah.
just can't see a way out. And mm-hmm. they think, well, I'm miserable. This is never going to change.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
God is the God who is able. Now, to Him who is able, and He's not just the God of barely enough. He's the God of I'm able to do this exceeding abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't send, Peter, throw out your net for a catch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give him 10 fish. I give him so many fish, it almost sinks
yeah.
his boat.
Mm-hmm.
I feed the multitude, and we have 12 baskets left over.
Mm-hmm.
God is the God of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And, when the Lord caused water to come from the rock
mm-hmm.
and gave drink to His people, the Scripture says in the book of Psalms, He gave water like the ocean depths.
Mm-hmm.
When the water coming from that rock was... I mean, it was a massive amount of water that
mm-hmm.
came out. I
mm-hmm.
mean, it was more than what they need, because God is always the God of more than enough, not the God of barely enough. So in your situation, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
don't stop praying. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't say this is never going to happen. Keep trusting God. Now, we have situations, if we're praying, you know, just in a marriage situation or a healing situation, we don't necessarily know. And when it comes to marriage, that other person
mm-hmm.
has to be willing.
Mm-hmm.
It takes two to tango.
Mm-hmm.
One person can't just make the thing work. But we know that God does answer prayer. And if we pray according to the will of God, He promises, 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. So keep trusting, keep praying, keep seeking the Lord. Don't give up.
And in those marriage situations, it's like you could be praying for that other person to change, for God to get a hold of that other person, when maybe a better prayer would be like, God, what do you want to teach me in the midst of this? How do you want to grow me in the midst
right.
of this? You know, my spouse is, you know, maybe you're in a situation where he or she doesn't want to even be married anymore and is checked out, but God, what are you trying to teach me in this? What needs to change in me in this process?
Right.
But I also hear you saying, you know, that a lot of times people are praying too meager, too small of
right.
prayers.
Right.
You know, for this verse says that now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So we don't
right.
have to pray tiny little prayers.
No. Pray big.
Pray big. Big.
Believe big. It was the father of modern missions. I've gone blank on his name, but he said, expect great things from God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Attempt great things for God.
Mm-hmm.
What was that guy's name? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but senior moment.
Anyway, yeah. So you can look it up.
Okay, so overall, Pastor Jeff, taking this, we got to the end of Ephesians 3. A lot of theology here in the first three chapters. It's going to get more practical in 4, 5, and 6, but at the end of 3 here, and so far, overall, how does this passage encourage us in these difficult days that we're in?
Well, I think it encourages us in a lot of different ways. It encourages us in the love of God. It encourages us in the power that the Holy Spirit gives us and wants to give us in any and every situation. And then it encourages us to keep praying, keep trusting, knowing that God is able. He's over every situation. And the Lord does work all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. So, here's the thing. You might be getting defeated right now in whatever mm-hmm. situation you're in, but listen, in the end, those who trust in the Lord will be victorious mm-hmm. because we are on the winning team because we're mm-hmm. on the Lord's team. And He is the captain. He is in charge, and He's going to bring us through. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Why? Because He's with us. Mm. As David said, You are with me. And so we can rest in that.
Yeah. Amen. Good stuff.
Amen. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank You for a good time in Your Word. I pray that this prayer would resonate deep within our hearts. And Lord, that many would take the challenge to memorize this prayer from mm-hmm. verses 14 through 21 and make it a part of their daily life and their daily prayer, that they would seek Your face this way. We love You and we praise You. Lord, we thank You that You're good. We thank You that You are in charge. We thank You, Lord, that we can trust You for big things because You're a big God. And we lift all this up to You in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us.